Once again, back at SEC Media Days, J.J. Jackson and Trevon Reed with the SEC Network's very own Jordan Rogers, live on Radio Row. Jordan, we appreciate the time. It's good to be back after not getting this last year.
Love it. And we got a lot to talk about with Auburn, huh, and quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Right.
I was just chatting about it over there. I mean, a lot of promise on the Plains. A couple quarterbacks I think could be good. We'll see what happens.
How would you handle that situation if you're the coach?
So I got a lot of, let's call it heat, last year for some of my breakdowns of Auburn's offense, Bo Nix, Malzahn's scheme. Let's call a spade a spade. Malzahn's offense got extremely stale the last 4 years, and here's why. That offense, when it first came to the SEC, was so tempo-based, and the SEC didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. They hadn't seen tempo like that, and when you have that advantage, Malzahn knew what the defense was going to do. You remember going against tempo early in those 2010s, it's like you had two calls, mm-hmm. right? Just get lined up. And it was base coverage, so when an offensive coach knows what the defense is going to do, he doesn't have to dial up a play that has a bunch of answers. He's like, okay, this is going to be open. Right. Here's the play. Yeah. Malzahn never got off that, but the defense and the SEC caught up to tempo, and teams are used to it now. Now, it is what it is. You have all your defense in for tempo. You get lined up. People practice that. So Bo Nix, his development was extremely hindered by the fact that when you flip on film, there's no answers for him. Mm-hmm. It is split field reads. He's looking to one side of the field. He doesn't have, usually sometimes, doesn't even have a check down, doesn't have answers coming to the middle of the field. As a quarterback, if you go in to a test, I remember sitting at Vandy. I had a psychology class that I hated. And I remember not being ready for a test one day, and it was Scantron, right? You yeah. fill in the bubble. So I'm like, hey, this girl Elizabeth I sit next to, she's pretty smart. Let's peek over a little bit. And it was always the same test. Yet the teacher came this one time and starts handing out different colored tests. And I'm like, uh-oh. So now she's got a different test, and I didn't have the answers.
Right.
Bo Nix was never given the answers. So the defense changes, right? Mm-hmm. The test changed for me, and I didn't have the answers anymore. When the defense changed, Bo Nix didn't have an answer. And that's when you see him look one way and then scramble and play backyard football because he doesn't. He was never given the knowledge to say, hey, here's where you go next.
Right.
Right? So Brian Harsin has to do that. Mm-hmm. And you have to give your quarterback the answers. Otherwise, he'll never develop. Otherwise, you're playing a guessing game. Sometimes you'll be right and he'll hit a big play. Most of the time, you're probably not going to be right and your quarterback's going to be lost.
Right.
So that was the issue. Bo Nix is so talented. I mean, just from a talent perspective, him and Matt Corral are probably the most talented throwers mm-hmm. of the football. Now, talent doesn't always mean production, mm-hmm. and it hasn't for Bo Nix. So he's got to turn that page. Harsin's got to put together an offense that allows him to do that, and Mike Bobo. Because TJ Finley's a good quarterback, too, and he's sitting right there, and he's going to have every opportunity if Bo Nix does struggle.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It was one of those situations. I mean, we talk about it a lot at the station. Do you take a risk on even starting TJ Finley and Bo losing confidence and TJ Finley don't live up to the expectation? Now you got to put Bo back in. So it's one of them situations, or do you have to start Bo?
I love that conversation because I'm always – I don't know if it's the old school thought process, haven't been in that situation where from high school I wasn't the starter right away.
Mm-hmm.
Junior college, I earned the job halfway through the season. Vandy earned the job. So I was always the second guy,
right?
My thought process there is you go with Bo Nix, mm-hmm. right? You let him either play really well, then you don't have a problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or you let him play himself out of that position, and TJ Finley's already transferred in knowing, hey, I'm not the guy right now. And you give TJ an opportunity to prove that slowly and surely if Bo Nix struggles. Mm-hmm. But in the perfect world, he doesn't, mm-hmm. right? And to your scenario, you start TJ Finley, he goes and struggles. Bo Nix's confidence is already taken a big hit. Is he going to be the same player?
Right.
Is he going to be able to step in now with that without that confidence, thinking, I got to make a play now. I got to push the ball downfield. And now you have him playing outside the scheme. So I'd start with Bo. I still think Bo's the more talented, ready guy to play right now, but TJ mm-hmm. Finley showed some really good things on film, showed some stuff last year that he was young, made some mistakes too, but it's going to be about the offense. Given that position, the answers, especially they lose their top three guys. They got nobody coming back that's had more than 20 receptions, probably 100. No one's had more than 100 yards coming back. I think the running backs and Bigsby is going to be extremely, and Shiver's going to be extremely important out of the backfield, right? I mean, Tank's got to get 25 touches a game. But you can't have 20 between the tackles. Mm-hmm. You got to have 13, 14 between yeah. the tackles, and you got to find ways to get him easy throws, get him the ball in space. I think you're going to see a lot of that.
I agree. Another quarterback we're sleeping on is that freshman.
Demetrius Davis out of Texas.
See, I don't get to see him. Yeah. I don't get to travel as much anymore. I don't get to be at camp, so I don't get to see these guys.
I get to see him every day working.
He looks good?
He looked good. And a lot of people sleep on him, and I let them sleep on him because I know I see him. And he know this TJ Finley, Bo Talk, he, that fuel him. He going to be ready. I think he's a Kyler Murray. I mean, he did break That's all awesome. Kyler Murray records.
Yeah, he did.
In Texas. He broke all of them. So he got game, and I think we need to start tossing his name around in that conversation. If Bo get benched, I hope he don't.
Yeah.
If Bo was to get benched, I don't think TJ Finley is an easy handle.
Right.
This kid is special.
Love, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, for sure.
Jordan Rogers joining us here on Radio Road SEC Media Days. Give me a little more on Tank Bigsby. A lot of people believe he's one of the most talented running backs, definitely in the conference, but also the entire country. What he can do for this offense. Mike Bobo taking over, Brian Harsin, and then the quarterback kind of up in the air.
Yeah, I mean, he reminds me of Alvin Kamara. I mean, even back when Alvin was in college watching him, to especially now, he has such an incredible balance at the point of contact. It's crazy, right? Yep. I mean, that's a natural gift. You could try to practice that all you want, but some dudes got it. Most don't, right? He has that. Again, he is so fun to watch because he is like shot out of a cannon. I mean, you as an offensive coordinator, you love that because you know if I dial up this run play to hit this hole, he's going to hit that hole. Right now, that's where you also got to be careful because he is your best player.
Right.
And he does not shy away from contact. And it is the SEC. He's going to get beat up, right? So that's what I was saying. You got to manage his carries between the tackles. And he's got to be a guy that you get out in space.
Mm-hmm.
Find ways to get him out in space, especially when the quarterback position is struggling. Nothing is better than the short, quick throws, right? Start playing 3-on-3 instead of 11-on-11. Right, get Tank outside the backfield, motion him outside the backfield, and find ways to get him 25 touches a game. Shivers is a guy that can be out of the backfield as well. I think they got two guys that can catch, be talented out of the backfield. And it's going to be interesting to see how Bobo balances who they're going to be and what their identity is and how different it's going to look from what Auburn's seen in the past.
I agree. Another thing that I love that we're going to use now is more tight end action.
Love it.
That's gonna be huge for Bo, cause even two throws to the tight end, that give teams something to worry about. Now I gotta watch this guy because in my guy Gus offense, it's like I see the tight end running, but I ain't gonna guard him because he ain't getting the ball.
You know what's interesting? I love football. So you just when you look at football over the last 20, it's so cyclical, mm-hmm. right? So when we were playing, right, late 2000s, early 2010s. You had to be big,
mm-hmm.
right? And then the tempo and the speed and the spread started coming. Why? Because teams were so big between the tackles and up front that you wanted to get speed on the outside. Now, what is every defense doing now? They're recruiting faster linebackers that can play in coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So what becomes a really important piece? The tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because now all those linebackers, now they're not 240. They're 215. They're 220. Now you got a tight end. Now that gives you the advantage in the run game. It is all cyclical. It all comes full circle. But as defenses
awesome.
Try to get faster mm-hmm. to match where the offenses are going, now the position that was lost, that was not important to the spread, the tight end, the Eric Gilberts, right, the Kyle Pitts has become very important because now you have a guy that's still 240, 250 blocking a guy that's 215. Right,
it.
So now it creates an advantage in the run game. It's
mm-hmm.
it's all coming back around. You know everything, but I love how trends change mm-hmm. and defenses are getting faster. Now that tight end position is going to be a premium in this league because of that. You still want to run the football
for sure.
Yeah.
Before we get you out of here, I got to do this. I just looked it up. Let's go back to October 20th of 2012.
Uh oh.
Trevon Reed's Auburn Tigers visit Jordan Rogers Vanderbilt Commodores on the playing fields. Do you remember that game?
I do remember that game. Yep, I remember. We ran a lot of Wildcat that game, so I only had like 173. Look it up. I think I had 173 passing yards that game. I did throw a pick. Got blasted on the pick, too. I had a corner route to Jonathan Krause. I threw it. Corner undercut it, and as he cut field. And as I was running the opposite direction, DN just, whoop, I mean, just leveled me, and I stayed down. I'm like, I'm not getting up. But I had a lot of snaps out at corner, and I tell this story all the time. My favorite thing to do, I was kind of an a-hole, honestly.
Right.
So I'd line up out at receiver. And I'd start a conversation with the corner. Like, what's up, man? Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, we'd run the run play and it'd go the other direction. I'd kind of, hey, I'm not going to block you. Know, I'm a quarterback. I don't block. Don't worry. Like, kind of buddy-buddy with him. That would happen for a couple plays. In the back of my mind, I knew we had a reverse coming. So I buddy-buddy with him. We're chatting a little bit. I'm out there four or five snaps. We're just playing patty cake, and I know the reverse is coming. Mm-hmm. I don't remember who the corner was. But so I come off, you know, half speed off the ball, like I'm just going to, hey, what's up, man? And then wham, I cut his knees, flip him up. The reverse hits backside. We hit a big play out of it, and he gets up. Man, I thought we were boys. Why are you doing me like that? That's what I remember most about that game. But I tell you what, you guys were so much more talented than us. I don't know. I mean, that was just one-on-one where we just – I don't know how we squeaked one out. What was it, 17-13 was the score? It was an ugly game.
And you had 173 yards.
There we go. See, quarterbacks got everything. Weird memories, man.
This is what I remember about that game, right?
There's five people in the stadium.
But they were all behind our bench, right? And we was down, and they – our offensive coordinator was Scott Leffler was drawing up a play, bro. It was a play that we never seen. The crowd was like, man, that ain't going to work.
It's the family that sits right behind y'all, too. So they were
we got in the game. It did not work. He was like, I told you that bull wasn't going to work. Man, Coach Leffler was like, dang, nothing I'm doing not working. Like, that's he just amazing. Couldn't figure it out.
That's awesome.
It was like, man, it was, man. That was bad. That was a whole bad
9 years
year.
Ago. We love that, going down memory lane.
I always
lane.
Tell Chiz, and you just had Chiz. I'm like, sorry, I think that was the beginning of the end. I might have had something to do with you getting fired. But now we work together.
Exactly.
So it's all good.
Jordan, we appreciate the time. Yeah, thanks for being here.
For sure, guys.
Yes, sir.
Jordan Rogers joining us on Sports Call.